The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.
You are tuned in to the American Freedom Party Report. Here are 3-hour big shoe, as Ed Sullivan used to say, every Sunday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Of course, this show directly correlates to our Monday through Friday show, which is the Trump phenomenon. And we discuss both things, the American Freedom Party and the Trump phenomenon, in both shows. There's no difference there at all. So you have 6 times a week a chance to listen in to our show. We skip Saturday only, and we sure welcome your participation in this live show. First, before I give you your call-in number, let me welcome my co-host today, Paul Fromm. Hi, Paul.
Hi, James, and I'll be back in just 5 minutes. I have something up to.
I know what it is, Paul. You got to check up on the NFL games.
Oh, no. But I do have an outrage for you. We've had a terror attack up here in the Dominion of Canada. Just as our prime minister is going on an anti-Islamophobia rant, guess what? It was ISIS.
yes. I'm looking at it. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now
in Edmonton.
Edmonton.
By a U-Haul. Repeatedly, it's lucky the man's alive. 4 pedestrians injured. The Muslim that they have caught, they haven't given out his name yet, had an ISIS flag with him. their order is collapsing. Anyway, I'll be back in 5.
Okay, Paul. Thank you very much.
I'll have to go and kneel down during the anthem.
Yeah, I know. I knew you had to do that. All right. So, folks, here we are. And the call-in number, if you can tear yourself away from kneeling at the national anthem, it's 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. And that will be one thing we can talk about today is the, I would say, well, I don't know. I guess I like truth. I like honesty, truth in advertising. So what I find to be a good aspect about the ridiculous anti-American antics of the people who can't stand for the American anthem is that they are showing their colors. Pardon the pun there. They're showing their colors as they won't honor our colors. And I think that's nice. I don't like charades. I don't like the charade of kumbaya, multiculturalism. Can't we all just get along? Of course, the answer is quite obviously no, we can't. Not in a blenderized world. We can all get along in a world, not perfectly, of course. The idea of rivalry between peoples is baked in the cake by Mother Nature itself. Species and subspecies compete. I think that was Charles Darwin's insight. They compete for scarce resources. And it is the engine of evolution. A kumbaya, if we actually did live in a world where organisms get along with each other, where every creature, every lamb, lies down with the lion, and everybody gets along. If we did actually live in such a world, we would all right now be amoebas. There would be no, there would have never been any competition for survival. There never would have been any development of any traits beyond those of an amoeba. So competition's baked in the cake, but we can do the best we can at getting along with other subspecies, and that's what we are. That's what races are. They are subspecies. There's nothing racist or controversial or about that statement. We are differing kinds within the species of Homo sapiens. We are differing kinds, and in taxonomy, that is called a subspecies. And we are easily identifiable. This is how a taxonomist would look at it. He'd say, "Can I identify? Are there identifying traits to this subspecies, the white race?" The white kind, the white subspecies. Yes, there are. As a taxonomist, can I recognize them? If I see a white person, will I recognize it? That's what a taxonomist asks when he looks at he's trying to decide whether a certain type of turtle is a subspecies of turtle. He wants something that he can recognize. Also, he's looking for something that reproduces itself. That's another of the criteria for a subspecies. Let's just make up something here. These green spotted turtles. If the green spotted turtle of the Galapagos Islands breeds with other green spotted turtles of the Galapagos Islands, do they produce more green spotted turtles of the Galapagos Islands reliably, consistently, all the time? Yes. If the answer is yes, I've got a subspecies, a stable subspecies that I can then identify and name, and that can, in fact, go on and exist in perpetuity if it so arranges its circumstances to make that happen. And that's, of course, what the mission of sensible white folks is. We would like to hand a world down to our children that is that contains us, a world that is theirs. A world in which the green spotted turtle, in this case us, continues to be the green spotted turtle of the Galapagos. And we don't want to become something else. We do not want to be bred out of existence. We do not want to be genetically transformed into something utterly different from what we are. And how did I get into this from the NFL? Stadiums. Well, this is one of my favorite topics. So my mind wanders when I get on such a wonderful topic as the genetic continuity of our kind. Anyway, I guess for truth in advertising, I think that's where we got down to it. I like the fact that these NFL clowns and buffoons they're being honest. No, we don't like the national anthem. No, we do not like the United States of America by inference from that. We don't like the American people. That is our people. We don't like them. We want to abolish you, change you, crush you, impoverish you. We want to sponge off of you, a whole bunch of various hostile intents of one subspecies against another, or there are a number of subspecies involved here. Anyway, here's a new twist on the NFL thing, and you may call in with your take on this. I think an exciting dynamic is in the money department. You know, they say money talks and BS walks. Well, I saw an article for the first time yesterday. I hadn't seen this point covered. The stadiums. Yes, the stadiums. And there's a lot of money involved in the NFL stadiums. I'm looking at a list of them right now. Let me go to that list. I know that the nearest one to me, the brand new Minnesota Vikings stadium, will cost It's done now. The Vikings are playing in it. I think right now. Don't turn the channel, please. The stadium has a cost of $1.3 billion. Ooh, that's a lot of money. But now we get to the crunch. Who pays for the $1.3 billion? You may have thought, for instance, the billionaire owners of these clubs finance their own stadiums. After all, they're billionaires and they're making lots of money, and the stadium is used pretty exclusively for their football team. So I just talked with one of our listeners who was calling from Texas, and he said that one of the stadiums he was thinking of in Texas, no, I think he was talking about the stadium in New Orleans. What's the name of that one? I used to live down there, but I never went into that stadium. The New Orleans stadium is, I can't see the title here, but in any event, it's almost exclusively used for NFL football games. But no, they don't pay for them, folks. You do. So if you, the tax slaves of America, decide, you know what, I don't think I want to pay a bond, pay the taxes necessary for a $1.3 billion stadium. And that's what the citizens of Minnesota, now I have to check into this, I didn't pay attention. Is it the citizens of Minnesota or is it the citizens and taxpayers of Minneapolis, St. Paul, who are stuck with this $1.3 billion tab? But if I'm an owner, one of these billionaire fat cat owners, I've got to be sweating bullets right now if I'm looking at maybe needing a new stadium and having to go before city councils, county commissions, and state legislatures begging for $1 billion+ in taxpayer money to build a stadium for my personal benefit as a billionaire. I'm losing sleep now if I'm an NFL owner. I'm looking at some of these stadiums. Some of them are a bit older, like Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, where I used to live. That's where Rush Limbaugh, by the way, got his start, is announcing games in Kansas City for the Chiefs. 1972. So the owner of the Chiefs, I don't know who the current owner is. He might be sweating a little bit. Let's look at some of these older stadiums here. 1957, Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Capacity 81,000. Okay. I'm sweating. Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum, built in 1923. Another owner sweating there. Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. There's the name right there, the New Orleans Superdome. 1975. That thing's going to be needing replacement. Good luck on getting the taxpayers to pay for it after these antics. Paul, are you back with us? Oh, I was seeing Paul there, but I'm sorry, he's not with us yet. Another one, in Orchard Park, New York, New Era Field. I don't know what, oh, the Buffalo Bills. So up in Buffalo, 1973, sweating bullets up there. Oh, here's one, Soldier Field in Chicago, 1924, Chicago Bears. And on it goes. Anyway, so that's a new twist to all of this. Billions and billions of dollars. I think I read an article this morning saying that there's something like $12 billion in bonds floating out there for stadiums that were built by you, the taxpayer, so that you could turn on your television and watch ridiculously overpaid athletes thumb their nose at your flag, your country, and your people. I don't know. People might not cotton very well to that. So I think our enemies, or let's say our rivals, going back to Charles Darwin, our subspecies rivals have made a colossal blunder here. The NFL and the NBA were two of the best operations they had going in terms of brainwashing the American public, white America, into accepting multiculturalism and the kumbaya that we'll all just get along. And it doesn't matter. There are no races. And life can go on in which your daughters, they date, you know, you as a father don't really care. You know, you're not a racist. You've come to this advanced state of mentality, this tremendous improvement in your common sense, intelligence, and morality, so that when your daughters bring home to dinner, who's that movie actor in the movie Who Came Home to Dinner? Somebody help me with the name of that movie. What was it? It was it'll come to me, this guy's name. But when that guy comes to guess who's coming to dinner, but who's the black star? It'll come to me. It'll come to me in a second, folks. Or one of you will call in and let me know. But as dad, your response is you open the door and here's your daughter with Colin Kaepernick on her arm. And your wife is going to serve dinner. And you've spent your whole life, you've busted your butt, you've worked overtime, you've worked weekends to get your daughter into that college where she met Colin Kaepernick, or, you know, substitute any one of these other guys. And you're going to just sit there and have a good old time with dinner, and you're going to carve the turkey, and come on, folks. That's what liberals believe. That's what these idiots are actually selling. And, of course, it's complete, you know, it's complete crap. It's an impossibility. It's like somebody who's patented a machine to make water flow uphill. And you're going to pay money for it. It's never going to happen, folks. What was that old ad? I don't think the ad was any good, but the saying is true. You can't fool Mother Nature.
Right.
You can't. It's not going to change. And after all this kumbaya, by the way, welcome back, Paul.
Yes, thanks.
After all this kumbaya of garbage, political correctness that we've been that's been force fed on us and our children for now these decades, the realities of nature will not go away. But the sad part of it will be this: once everybody has been blenderized, and may it not happen, but should it ever happen, that all of these subspecies, these different creatures, are blenderized, what will happen is that their natural impulse to separate will assert itself, and it won't be pretty. They will have to then look at the problem that future generations will have to, solve, a problem that never needed to have been created. And you see it, by the way, you see Mother Nature at work. I challenge you, I invite you, peek your head. If you can get through the security, if you can't get into your local high school or middle school anymore, or elementary school, try to get in the front door, even as a parent. You got to go through a whole security check business of buttons and cameras and visitor pass and all this kind of stuff. Boy, Paul, we remember the days when you were at school. When I was in elementary school, I could just wander off the school grounds and go eat lunch at a local delicatessen, and then wander back. And I was only, 9 years old. Nobody cared. It was so wonderful. Anyway, this was in the Pacific Palisades, California, and in Santa Monica, California. I'll give you a Santa Monica story a little later in the show. Turns out that Stephen Miller, I didn't know this, Stephen Miller, the great speechwriter for Donald Trump, genius speechwriter, from the staff of Jeff Sessions, Stephen Miller went to Santa Monica High School. So I probably saw him around town in Santa Monica. I lived there a long time and went to the schools there and so on. Stephen Miller graduated from Santa Monica, SAMO we call it, in 1985. Anyway, go into the school there, peek your head, stick your head into the lunchroom. I do that with my kids. I'm allowed as a parent to eat lunch with my kids. I do it. Look at how the kids separate themselves, asserting their biological nature. We'll be right back with more thoughts after this break.
We are are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We're back, folks. And that call-in number is 800-313-9443. Thank you, engineer. Sydney Poitier. Guess who's coming? I forget the title. Do you remember it, Paul? Guess who's coming to dinner?
Yes.
Something like that. Okay. And, and folks, starting with that movie, and that's really, I think that must have been in the 1960s. I remember watching that, and I remember being like kind of shocked as a kid. I didn't really get it, but it seemed shocking that Sidney Poitier was bringing this beautiful white girl home to dinner, because that didn't happen where I grew up. And it was unimaginable, actually. So, but now it's you, Dad, out there, and Mom, you too. You're supposed to be, I mean, this is the ideal of liberalism, is that you will reach this state of moral perfection. You will have so conditioned yourself that you will have eradicated every trace of racism. Every trace of racism will be expunged from your personality. And so that when you open the door in life on anything, and what's looking back at you is a black man holding your daughter, or a Chinaman, or a Mexican, you will have no problem with this. There will be no biological reaction. Your heartbeat will stay the same. Really, Dad? Really? Will it? You won't start breathing faster. If doctors have got, you know, EKG things on you, the liberals will be able to detect that you have now achieved moral perfection. You are not a racist anymore. You think of everything as being exactly the same and just utterly equivalent to everything else. And you are just as pleased that your daughter brought home Tiger Woods or Colin Kaepernick or Sidney Poitier as if your daughter brought home, Joe Montana or name any other, you know, great white quarterback or individual. And, so this is patently absurd. It's inherently, obviously stupid. It's never going to happen. And the point I was making, you can look into any high school lunchroom or middle school, anywhere the students have a choice as to where they're going to sit. In my child's elementary classroom, the kids, actually they have a little bit of choice, but they're kind of like directed to the little tables by the elementary teachers. But in the high school, the kids can sit wherever they please. Guess what? The Mexicans are all together. The African Americans are all together. The American African Americans are all together. The white kids are all together. And this is Mother Nature asserting itself. So here's some interesting stuff, Paul. You'll like this. I looked up Colin Kaepernick. Here we are on an NFL Sunday football day. And I don't know what's going on out there. Some of you listeners might call in and tell me what's going on, Paul and myself, so we don't have to tune in and look at it. But if you just squint through your fingers for a second to see who's kneeling and who's not, then turn the station. Because we're not watching NFL football anymore. It's no, what is the acronym that was coined right here on this show? No, let's see. No fans left. I think that was it. No fans left. Colin Kaepernick was born in just kind of connects to the biological thing we're sewing together with the NFL. He was born in 1987, so he's a young guy. His mother, Heidi Russo, was 19 years old, a pretty white girl. I didn't know that. I just found that out yesterday. And I'm reading right here from his Wikipedia article. Kaepernick was born in 1987 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to Heidi Russo, a 19-year-old who was single at the time. His birth father, an African-American man, left Russo before Colin was born.
Oh, no, really?
You know what? Once in a blue moon, that kind of thing happens, Paul.
Well, like 82% of the time with me, bro.
Hey, oh, my gosh.
Maybe
all right.
Maybe you'll get luck.
Yeah, right. All right, we'll be right back with more of this stuff. See you in a minute.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We're back, folks. Thanks for tuning us in. We're talking about Colin Kaepernick, Sidney Poitier, helping our race hang together, and things like this. Colin Kaepernick, his birth father, an African-American man, left his white mother, Heidi Russo, age 19, before Colin was born. Paul, nobody's done, I don't think, a statistical study of this question, but it would be very interesting. I don't know how a researcher could break through the political correctness wall to get these statistics. But, just anecdotally, how many of us have seen a white girl basically abandoned after being impregnated by a black man?
Oh, often, pretty often.
It's pretty darn often, folks, or a very short-lived marriage.
It's a pattern. White women are considered by many Negroes to be conquests, baby mothers. Not a wife, not a lifetime, friend, companion, and partner, but simply a womb in which to implant their seed. It becomes she becomes something of a captive, a trophy. but not to stick. He will very likely move on to another potential baby mother. That's the behavior.
Yes.
Especially since the 60s, 82% of Negroes are born out of wedlock. I mean, the statistics are scream that quite apart from the racial racial argument, it's just not a good bet for a white woman or even a black woman to go out with a black man. I'm not concerned about the black woman, but I am concerned about white women, and yet they are hit nonstop through media, through education, through advertisements that this is not only acceptable, but it's cool. It's a good thing. They're badly informed.
Yeah. That's the way it was portrayed in Who's Coming to Dinner with Sidney Poitier. I'll read you a little bit more about him in a moment. Katharine Hepburn, I think if I'm looking at the credits right, volunteered her own niece as Sidney Poitier's love interest. Way to go, Katharine Hepburn. And Spencer Tracy was the father who's supposed to have his heartbeat not rise when the door opens with Sidney Poitier there. And by the way, just a little more detail on Sidney Poitier. He was his parents were both Bahamians who took a boat to Miami to sell produce, and they managed. I wonder how this managed to happen, Paul. They managed to have little Sidney while they were there in Miami one day, which made Sidney an automatic American citizen. I wonder how often that sort of thing happens.
Isn't America lucky?
Oh, my goodness. You know, they couldn't. It was such a surprise that she was ready to have a baby. She's probably going into labor when they got in their boat in the Bahamas. But then Sidney Poitier later, he then traveled again, the way the Chinese are doing it and so on. Now, later he went back to the Bahamas as a baby, but he then just decided, I'm going over to the United States because I'm an American citizen. And so he did that. He enlisted in the army. It was back in 1943, and was a medical assistant or something. No combat for him. Then he got out of even that by claiming insanity. So Sidney Poitier. He claimed insanity to get out of the army, and then he went into his acting career. But there's more here on Colin Kaepernick. You can't make this stuff up. So 19-year-old Heidi Russo, abandoned by the black father, places Colin up for adoption. Well, she's 19 years old, no father, no provider. So she gives the child up for adoption. And Colin Kaepernick is adopted by Rick and Teresa Kaepernick, a white couple who had two children and were looking for a boy after losing two other sons to heart defects. Kaepernick became the youngest of their three children. He lived in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin until age 4, and then they moved to Turlock, California. Well, so here's this guy with all this indignation at white America. His mother's white, abandoned by a black father, the parents who raised him, painstakingly and took good care of him all of his youthful years. They're a white couple. Isn't this amazing, the gratitude that we see there?
It's heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking.
We let off talking about the terror attack in Edmonton. Almost as bad as a terror attack in a place I know quite well. I know Marseille fairly well in the south of France. And the railway station there is called Gare Saint-Charles Station. Well, two white women were stabbed. One had her throat cut. The other stabbed in the stomach by a Muslim terrorist hollering Allah Akbar last night. Our prime minister spends an inordinate amount of time yammering against Islamophobia. You'd be an idiot if you didn't have a concern about radical Muslims. And I agree, not every Muslim is a terrorist, granted. But there's a real problem here, James. And I think these events are beginning to show people that we are being led by traitors or idiots. Take your pick. And they're multi-culti, we're all equal nightmare that they're imposing on us is beginning to implode. This is going to be a big awakening for Canadians. The Premier of Alberta, she's a socialist, Rachel Notley. I heard her on TV a bit earlier today, and she said extremism and hate have no place in Alberta. She never once gagged out the term Islamic terrorism. You know, you can't fight the problem if you can't name it. That's always a problem with dealing with children and health issues. If the child can't explain where he or she is hurting, it's a little hard to deal with the problem. Our minister in charge of public safety, that's national security, Ralph Goodale, he put out a statement last night condemning the bombing in Edmonton. And a number of people were tweeting, was he drunk? It wasn't a bombing. I think it was an attack. Yeah, but then the prime minister said that we have to remember that diversity is our greatest strength and we have to all unite together and support one another. No, we've got to root out Islamic terrorists that his administration and previous administrations have allowed into Canada.
Right. And the template for all of this was laid down in, among other places, in 1967, when Sidney Poitier, I don't remember the scene. I'll look it up maybe after the show here today. I'm sure there must be a front door scene where Sidney Poitier. I'm sure it has to happen that Catherine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy are there at the door. One of you callers who remembers the movie better, maybe. And guess who's coming to dinner? The door opens, and there's Dr. John Wade Prentice. So Sidney Poitier is portrayed as a doctor, of course.
Oh, yes.
The Negro brain surgeon.
Which is not a rocket scientist.
Yeah, exactly.
Werner von Braun.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll bet you there's a scene in there. But that was, in other words, we were being prepared. We were being softened up for this, the heroic Negro. It's just fine. And Spencer, and I'm sure I know how, I don't remember the movie really at all. I don't know that I ever watched it from start to finish. I just remember being shocked by it. I'll bet you at the end of the movie, I sort of know the way movies are written. Steve Bannon's a real expert on this and how movies are written. There's a formula in Hollywood for movies. There's an arc that they call it in the movie. And in the arc, I'm sure that Spencer Tracy has a problem with Sidney Poitier. So does mom, Catherine Hepburn. Then they have a moment of realization. Isn't this funny, Paul? I mean, I don't remember the movie plot at all, but I would bet 10 to 1 odds I'm getting it right here, because this is just the way Hollywood works. Spencer and Catherine probably have a little bit of racist problem. There's a little bit of racism there in them that needs to be rooted out. The cool daughter, of course, she's hip now. She's cool. She's brought this Negro home. So they're in the arc of the movie. I'm trying to remember what the turning point. There's a turning point, and it's just about in every movie, folks, where there's a moral crisis, a moment of realization, where the Spencer Tracy and Catherine Hepburn will realize Dr. Prentice is actually a good man, and there'll be a tearful moment where they'll be happy that their daughter is now going to engage in wedded bliss with such a fine person. And I'll bet you that's how the moviegoers leave the, you know, millions of white impressionable white girls and boys left the movie theater or their TV screens after learning that moral lesson, Paul.
Wasn't there a song from, I'm not sure if it was from the movie or just back there, sort of a teenage bubblegum song, My Boyfriend's Black and There's Going to Be Trouble, or do I remember that incorrectly?
Oh, well,
my boyfriend's back, and there's going to be...
Oh, Paul, you're being funny. Okay, yeah. My boyfriend's back, and there's going to be trouble.
Hey,
yeah, yeah. My boyfriend's back. I can't quite remember it, folks, but...
but you're quite right. That wasn't Spencer Tracy the father?
Yes.
Yeah. Getting long in the tooth back then, because that was after his rather stellar performance as Clarence Darrow in Inherit the Wind, which was made in 1960. So this would be a few years later, but it's that sort of interracial movie that begins to soften things up. It doesn't happen overnight, but you know, people are led to think, well, it can't be all that bad. I mean, he was a very accomplished young black. I mean, he was a doctor or something. That's the type of person, the average white girl is likely to meet. Yes, there is the odd Negro MD and PhD, but the emphasis there is on odd. That's just not the type of person one is likely to meet.
Okay, here it is, Paul. It's right here. Catherine Hepburn, I'll just use the star's name. No, Catherine Houghton, who is the niece of Catherine Hepburn. So this is a young girl in Catherine Hepburn's family, volunteered by Catherine Hepburn to be the Poitier's target here. Catherine Houghton, her unannounced early return from a Hawaiian vacation causes a stir when she brings her new fiancé to her childhood upper-class home in San Francisco. He is Sidney Poitier, Dr. Prentice, a widowed black physician. Joanna's parents, newspaper publisher Matt Drayton, Spencer Tracy, and his wife, Catherine Hepburn, she's an art gallery owner. Okay, this is all very, very cool, folks. Catherine Hepburn are purported liberals who have instilled in their daughter the idea of racial equality. But although, here's the conflict now, here it comes. But although they try to hide it, I'm hearing the R word here. Joanna's parents, and in particular her father, are initially upset that she is planning to marry a black man. Joanna, the daughter, is oblivious to the reactions of her parents. That's more programming there, Paul. In other words, the kids distanced from the parents, disregard your parents. She's oblivious to her stupid parents and her racist parents. Her parents are unsettled by her engagement with Sidney Poitier, since they never thought that her choice would be a black man.
No.
And Let's see how it ends up here. I got to fast forward here, see if I predicted it correctly.
Well, in real life, it would end up badly, but I can't remember how it ended up in the movie. Even back then, I was disgusted. Not nearly as disgusted as I would be today, but even then, I was disgusted.
Well, here it is. Karnak Kelso predicted it correctly. Matt, that's Spencer Tracy, the father, at the end of the movie, here's the ending, calls everyone together to make an announcement. And this announcement was written by the writer. Let's see who wrote the movie. So I have a little suspicion here as well. Written by William Rose. That would be a tribesman. And produced by Stanley Kramer, another. So these words were put into Matt's mouth by Mr. Rose. He calls everyone together to make an announcement. He says, father says, it does not matter what everyone else may think about Sidney Poitier and Joanna getting married. All that matters, you can fill in the rest, Paul. All that matters is that they love each other. The film ends with the two families. So it must be that Sidney Poitier now brings his black family in, and Monsignor Ryan finally sitting down to dinner. Oh, my gosh.
That would have been either just before or just after Poitier appeared in a movie with Judy Geeson in England called To Sir With Love. And Sir is I believe, a supply teacher in an English school, kind of a school in a tough area. And, of course, he's, unlike other teachers, he's very understanding, and the kids all fall in love with him, including this particular little blonde girl, I think that was played by Judy Geeson, and I don't think they actually...
Yes, he made that movie, To Sir With Love, the same year, 1967. Same year. We'll take a break, folks. We got Bruce in Arizona on the line. Hang on, Bruce. We'll be right with you. Stay tuned.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
I've got so sick and tired of listening to what you got to say. I decided I just got to stand up and say so. Sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being treated this way. So I made my choice, gonna raise my voice and say it's
we're back, folks. Thanks for tuning us in. We've got a caller in Arizona. Bruce, thanks for joining us. What's on your mind? Hi.
Well, basically, after you sort of botched both the capsules of those movies, I'll tell you how it really went.
Okay.
My daughter majored in art and film history at ASU, And I watched all those movies with her while she was growing up. She loves them. To begin with, there's no front door scene with the Drapers. The father and the mother don't see. What they do, the mother finds out first because Sidney Poitier, who is in the process of calling his father on the phone in Matt Draper's office, the publisher of the newspaper, which is Spencer Tracy, as the daughter, Joanna, Katharine Hepburn's niece, is telling her mother, oh, I met this wonderful person, oh, in Hawaii, oh, and he's a doctor, and he does this in Africa, and he works with this and that. And at the very exact moment that she says, oh, Mom, I haven't even told you his name. It's a wonderful name, John Wade Prentice. And that time, Poitier opens the door, takes two steps in, and Katharine Hepburn meets his face as she looks up, John Wade Prentice. And she's looking and looking and looking, and her mouth is like hitting the floor. And Joanna turns around, and they talk a little bit, Poitier and the girl he's going to marry, talk a little bit. And finally, the mother, Katharine Hepburn, stands up, and Poitier says to her, Mrs. Drayton, I don't mean to be rude, but I think you better sit down before you fall down. Anyway, she was in shock. All right, now that I got that out of the way.
Now, that's good, Bruce. Thank you very much, Bruce. Thank you very much for that. But, I don't want to be a know-it-all, but what you're saying is that actually that I did, in fact, get it exactly right. That shock at the door scene is the scene in the office there.
In the living room.
Yeah, that's the shocked moment there where it's not Spencer Tracy that sees them first, but it's the mother
Katharine
who has the
Hepburn,
first shock.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Continue.
Okay. Now, what it is that yes, they're pretending to be liberal, and they're getting teased by the priest all the time. He says, oh, I'm so happy to see a liberal being shocked. But anyway, one of the big famous lines is that Katharine Hepburn, talking to her husband, Spencer Tracy, said to her, you know, we raised her right, because he is not going to marry her unless he gets permission from the father and the mother. And the black mother, who eventually shows up and takes Joanna Drayton out there to talk, is that my husband won't go for this either, and your husband won't, will they? What happens to men when they grow old and they forget about love? And the whole liberal premise of, oh, my God, the man always forgets about, but the women are all for it, both black and white women. Katharine Hepburn says to Spencer Tracy in his office, you know, we raised her right. We taught her that the black man is not inferior to the white man, but we never told her, don't fall in love with one. That's the exact line. And that was a big scene in the movie. And then they invite, Joanna Drayton invites the parents to come and visit. And then there's this startling scene in the airport when his black parents see little white Joanna Drayton coming up and grabbing, hi, Mr. and Mrs. Prentice, I'm so glad to meet you. And you can see his mouth is just, my God.
Okay, now Bruce, I've got it right here. I think I've got it, Bruce. I'm going to play it.
Okay,
the scene you just described, here's Katharine Hepburn, beautiful smile, talking with her daughter, who's got tears streaming down her cheeks. I think she's telling her mother she's in love with somebody. Sidney Poitier is about to enter through the door. Here's that scene that you just described. Here we go.
Both his wife and his son were killed in a train accident in Belgium 8 years ago. And John, I haven't even told you his name. Mom, it's John Wade Prentice. Isn't that a lovely name? John Wade. Joanna Prentice, I'll be.
And she just saw him.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah.
Mom, there's something else that I must tell you.
John's been concerned
about. Very deeply concerned.
Hang on.
He's been worrying for the past week whether you and Dad would be upset if... Well, it's about time. I was wondering where you've been. Mom? Mrs. John?
Dr. Prentice?
I'm so pleased to meet you.
I'm pleased to meet you, Mrs. Drayton. I take it Joanna's already busted out with the big news.
Well, she has told me a good deal, and all very quickly, too.
Gee, she's only known me for 10 days.